Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. My mime over here is my co-host, Ashley Lang, and we decided that two of us needed to tackle this topic today, right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Because we have the one and the only Mr. Charles Ruffalo. Pardon me. Hi, Charlie. How you doing?
Hi. Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
It will be fun.
Yeah.
So let me tell you how this all started. I walked into the restaurant here a couple weeks ago, and I noticed this nice, big, heavy glass plaque on the counter. And I start reading this thing, and it says 50 years of service to Substation 2. And I said, well, wait a minute. We just celebrated the 38th or 39th anniversary here in Rock Hill. What is 50 years all about? So I said, Charles, would you be so kind as to explain this difference of 12 years so I could understand what's going on?
Well, that's the thing, Manning. Most people don't know that I'm actually part of a franchise that myself and two brothers started in May of 1975. My two brothers, John Ruffalo.
Everybody, let's salute
it.
John.
Okay, John, you got that? We got you. And then Don, our older brother. We found out there was no sub shops in the Southeast back in 1975.
Now tell everybody where you were from.
Well, from New Jersey.
Ah.
We had a very nice restaurant in New Jersey. Fine dining, tuxedoed waiters, waitresses.
Yeah.
But my dad wanted to sell, and we were all working there while I was in school in Jacksonville, Florida. And he wanted to sell, so we needed jobs.
Dad was taking care of you, huh?
Right. My sister was in Sumter, South Carolina. Her husband was in the Air Force. Whenever he'd fly up to the Northeast, he'd bring back sacks of sub sandwiches because there was no sub sandwiches in the Southeast.
Kidding.
So my sister, Mary Ann.
Are you listening, Mary Ann?
Yeah, there you go. Is a realtor, and she had a little 2,000 square foot spot and said, why don't you come down and open up a sub shop? And we did.
You're kidding.
Nope. John and Don were there first, and then I joined them when I got out of Jacksonville University that semester, and we just ran from there.
So the sub shop started in Sumter?
Sumter, South Carolina.
And then is that the only...
Whoa, I'm going too fast.
So we started out, and the success was amazing. The first day, I think we had like 30 loaves of bread. We sold out in like 10 minutes. We had no clue of the market that we were walking into. And business just exploded. Well, some of our chefs from our restaurant in New Jersey saw what we were doing, and they came down and asked us to show them how to do this. So that's when we decided to franchise. And it just went from there.
I want to go back here.
Right.
So when this first shop is opening up in Sumter, what was your job?
It was wild. My job was anything and everything, just like the three of us. Whatever it was, we're open till midnight, and it was crazy. Everything was sliced fresh, just like it is now.
All right.
it was just nuts.
I mean, being next to an airbase down there.
Yeah.
I imagine you had people come. I mean, you could have kept that open 24 hours a day. I bet you.
Yeah, we had business all the way till 12 o'clock, but then Saturday Night Live came on, so we shut the door, and we'd each get a beer and watch Saturday Night Live. It started in 1975 also, so that was something to do, but it was funny. We had no idea how much food to order. We were just flying by the seat of our pants, making stuff up. It was a riot. It was
so
hilarious.
You started with 30 loaves of bread. That's what you said?
The very first day.
And that ran out how fast?
It didn't make it half an hour. It didn't make it happen.
So what did you do then?
Closed and then ordered like ordered three times as much the next day.
Right.
No, we had a baker there in Sumter that was baking our bread special for us. So we called him and said we doubled the order or tripled the order the next day. And we finally got on top of it. But it took about a week before we finally got a grasp. And the baker could handle it. He was just a guy and his family. We kind of blew him out of the water. So we had to go. And the bread that we use now, we went and found that baker at that time. It just exploded.
All right, no way, Bill. So these sandwiches have a whole bunch of different types of meats on them.
Yep. Right?
Where did you get all those meats for the first store?
Well, at that time, PYA, Pierce, Young, and Angel,
okay,
was a predecessor of U.S. Foods.
I see, okay.
So we got with the brokers. What we did was we contacted the people that make the ham, the roast beef, the turkey, and worked a deal with them, and then worked a deal with PYA to warehouse and deliver for us.
Okay.
It would be so much percentage for perishables, so much percentage for frozen goods.
So you ran out of bread.
Uh-huh.
Did you run out of turkey and bologna and capicola and all that first day?
No, because we had...
Yeah, enough of that.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. We ordered more than... When we order for a week at a time.
Ah.
So...
How'd you even decide what kind of meats you were going to have? Were you just...
Restaurant experience.
Okay.
From New Jersey. And so we knew the quality of the meats we wanted to use. And...
So let me go back a step here. Your family's business was a fine dining restaurant.
Yes, sir.
In Colts Neck, New Jersey.
Yes, sir.
Right? How did you know anything about making a sub?
Joyce's Sub Shop in Lincroft, New Jersey. Which is still there, by the way. That was sort of what we modeled our business after. Don't tell them that. It might be a lawsuit. I don't know.
Thanks.
But that's we kind of ate with them for several years. They were real near the high school that I went to.
Right.
And so we ate with them regularly, and we just said, that's what we want. Foot-long sandwich, slice it fresh, slice the vegetables fresh.
So, all right. So all three brothers are working in this one little store in Sumter.
Yes, John, Don, and Charlie.
Yeah. Make sure you get that John out.
Yes.
Right? Right. And your older brother is deceased, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. So three brothers are working.
Yes.
12 hours a day or more.
No, yeah.
Yeah. So at what point did somebody say, this model isn't going to work? We've got to expand it, or we have to get more help in here, or we have to do whatever?
We never said it's not going to work. We just hired enough people to handle our operation there.
Right.
Know, just like now.
Okay.
But when other people showed interest in wanting to learn how to make it, that's when it really got interesting.
How long did that take?
I think we opened up our first franchise store in 76, and it was in Sumter, South Carolina.
About a year.
A local fella. He had a family of like 7 kids, so he had no problem with having employees. And he actually ended up buying 3 or 4 stores. And a kid,
dang, you get a store.
Yep, like Oprah. You get a store. And that was the first one we did. And that store is still open. Excuse me, John, I know you're going to text me right now. Our first store was actually in Dorchester Road in Charleston. One of our chefs from the restaurant, Jimmy Cimino, opened up that one.
Good old Southern name.
Yes, Jimmy Cimino. Jimmy was awesome. He's one of my favorites. He ended up opening, I think it was 7 of them in Charleston.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then, but the second one we opened was in on Main Street in Rock Hill, Sumter. A fellow named Don Wand and his family.
So then it kind of exploded.
Yeah, we grew much faster than we could handle. It got nuts. I mean, we...
Did you have somebody who was handling franchising, or people just call and say, I want to open your sub shop?
Yes. We have people that were doing that process. The right people? I think we could have done better. But we... It was a learning curve all the way around, because franchising in the 1970s
was
really...
I was about to say, that was probably a new thing, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you had KFC, McDonald's and everything, but as far as something like us to create a franchise was, you were doing it by the seat of your pants and learning as you went along.
So tell me, you did have some kind of a franchise agreement, or did you just say, go ahead and open it?
No. You know, it's funny. At first, it was basically shaking hands with the people we knew. You know, here you go. Just do the right thing. Well, and then we realized after about 6 or 7 stores, no, we need an official franchise document. And we ran with that for, 30 years, 40 years. And then we realized this is not good. I mean, we got up to over 100, 120 stores.
Oh, my God.
But we did not have the controls we wanted with the current franchise agreement. Mm. So we started shutting down whole markets. I mean, California, Las Vegas, Long Island.
Oh, wow.
We started shutting down markets. And as we shrank, we got more and more control. Then in about when my brother passed in 2011, my oldest brother, Don, I got together with the family, my brother and two nieces, and said, what are we going to do? We need a new franchise agreement. We need a new franchise attorney. So collectively, we put that together and had a new franchise agreement. Then it fell on me to go get everybody to sign this new franchise agreement.
Well, not even now. Like, did you have like a playbook, like a binder that you handed them and said, "This is what we do. We slice, garden, garden, garden." Like, do you know this is how you do it?
And okay, stuff like that. But
logos and branding and.
So when you talk about controls, you didn't have control over all these. Well, new franchise. What does that mean?
Let me give you an example. I was director of operations for a number of years in the late 70s, early 80s.
This is when you're working for corporate.
When I was working for corporate.
Yeah.
My job was to go inspect the stores and make sure they were doing the proper meats, the proper amounts. And I was finding that people were not doing that. But our franchise agreement did not give me any authority to do anything other than close them. There was no penalties involved. There was no. It was basically, you do it our way, or we're going to have to close you. Well, my brother was very hesitant to close anybody. And so for years, he let people do things their own way.
Ah.
Whether they buy our Mobile, Alabama franchisee. I love that guy, Rick. But he decided that 8 ounces of meat on a sandwich was too much, so he decided to put 6 ounces on. Okay, well, then his sales started
going down.
Nosediving. Yeah. And I talked to him about that. Well, then he said, well, I'm not making any money. I'm going to put 4 ounces instead of 8 ounces. And it was just, he was just going down the drain. And you know, people like that. That's the controls because we couldn't force him to do that. And the only alternative we had was to pull the franchise and his buying power, which is what we had to do.
All right. So you're working with the family.
Yes.
your corporate tour of duty number one.
Right.
But then you decide to come here to Rock Hill and open this store.
Well, in 1981, I decided to run a store in Shelby, North Carolina.
All right.
That was my first experience of being an independent owner. And I ran that for 3 years. Sales were number one in the chain. Had a blast, but Shelby and I did not get along. Shelby's not the kind of town I wanted to live in. So I went back to work at corporate in 83. And then I'm not a corporate guy. I could not be in that corporate office.
I can't imagine.
Not with my family, you know. So Rock Hill Market came open, and I said, okay, let me jump on that one.
And so you left corporate and opened the store?
Yep, in 1986.
1986.
Yep.
And at that time, you had roughly how many franchisees out there?
I was store number 108 in the scheme of thing, and that was in 86. And we grew from there. You know, our numbers were in, I think store numbers are in the 300 or 400s nowadays. Although we don't have that many open. Those are, you know, once we close the store, we retire that number.
So you had as many as 300 franchisees out, 300 stores.
We probably sold 300 franchises in the years. Whoa. They were never open at once. The most we had open was around 100, 120 maybe.
At a time.
Was the most we had open at one time.
Jeez.
Like I said, we're in L.A., we're all the way along the coast up to Long Island. We had stores in Las Vegas.
So where are you today?
We're, I think, 38 stores.
38.
And they're 38 solid stores. We have now the controls we want and the people we want running them. People that care, are conscientious, and want to do the job as we've explained it to them.
But you told me that it looks like you're going to be opening 4 or 5 more?
Yes, my nieces now run the corporation. My niece Sandy is CEO and president, and then my niece Susan. And those two run the corporate, along with 5 or 6 other 7 people doing the other day-to-day grind stuff.
So it is still kind of a family business?
Oh, it definitely is. The stockholders are basically only family members.
Okay.
Where are you going? You'd ask me. God, I got so many things going through my head right now.
Lay them all out there, Charlie.
No. So many ways we could go with this. But it,
So you're down to, you said 38,
I believe 38 is what you said. We're going to open up five in the next year.
Right.
I think the first one's going to be open, or the biggest investment we have is Blacksburg, Virginia, at Virginia Tech.
Oh, boy.
We had a store there for 30 years, but the fellow sold. He decided to retire,
right.
Sold the business, and sold the building. And
is it actually going to be in Virginia Tech, or is it going to be?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know. I don't really handle or pay attention to that stuff anymore. That's my niece's job. But it should be somewhere around campus. I hope we can capitalize on the success that he had when he was there. Although with a college location, every year you're turning over a fourth of your customers. So it'll be interesting to see. If they realize a good sub sandwich, and we got a good fellow running that, he's my nephew, he'll be running it, and I'm sure he'll do a good job.
So the secret sauce here at Substation 2 in Rock Hill is really a good sandwich, routinely. I mean, all you can expect it all the time.
Right.
People love it. The old slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. But the other part, which we're going to talk about here when we come back from the break, is all the stuff you've done in the community, because that's been extensive. You don't talk about it, but I will, because this is our show, right?
We sure will.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we have a couple of guys who hang out here all the time because they got nothing better to do. Here we go. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters and at the count of three.
Even looking.
Oh, good. I hope so. At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Nicely done, Charlie. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140. Or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch, whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Our guest today, Charlie Ruffalo, who is celebrating 50 years, a 50th anniversary with his own family business called Substation 2, which started a whole bunch of years ago down in Sumter, South Carolina. I'm joined by our co-host here today, Ashley Lang, and we've got a couple of other guys who've popped in here. Dr. Scott Oliver, and what is your, oh yeah, Robert Beatty.
It's what I like to refer to as the lunch punch.
The lunch punch, okay. So, first of all, somebody texted into Charlie, wanted to know where Slice, Garden, Garden, Garden came from. In all honesty, it just kind of popped in my head one day while I was sitting here, and we were talking about what would a slogan be for this place. And I don't know, I guess I was looking at the slicer, or somebody said, we do this, we do that, and it just came out of nowhere. Slice, garden, garden, garden. Has it stuck?
Yeah, a little bit.
Charlie, what was it when you were in the, whatever it was, you were having a colonoscopy or something, and one of the guys, one of the doctors said to you, what did he say?
I was getting ready to have a colonoscopy, and they're just about to put me out, and, you know, the nurse and the anesthesiologist was in there, and then the doctor walks in the room going, slice, garden, garden, garden. The two of them, the nurse and the anesthesiologist, looked at him, their mouths dropped open. I just
kinda like mine right now.
Yeah, not what you want to hear from your doctor for a colonoscopy.
Okay, so I was mentioning before the break, one of the things that has made this restaurant successful, besides the great food, is all the stuff this guy does throughout this community all the time. I mean, how many guys do you know that would be part of PRT walking around picking up trash that people just litter all over the place? Charlie does that. He's been involved with so many different things. I mean, we've got a shelf here full of little remembrances from people who have honored him. He got honored here recently by, I've forgotten, the AEC.
Adult Enrichment.
Adult Enrichment Center. Lady's name escapes me.
Oh, Samantha Kreishauser.
Samantha Kreishauser came.
Surprised me one day with this award for citizenship. I had no idea that was such a thing.
Right.
But
Charlie has employed people with what I would call special needs people that work here routinely. You would never know that they were special needs because they do the work that he has them do that they're capable of doing. So, Robert Beatty, I'm going to start.
I was going to say, he lets people like that come in and eat with him.
So, Robert, what story could you tell about Charlie in terms of what he's done? No. Be straightforward.
Keep it clean.
No, Charlie's licking over the like.
What the heck
are
you going to say?
Please,
you know?
don't say it.
But all seriousness.
No, but you know, really, like you were talking about, 50 years of success has to have a lot of quality behind it. And that's what you're talking about. Uh-huh. That's what you're talking about. And then when I was riding up here, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about just what you just said, is all of the work you've done for the community, Winthrop, the city. I mean, it really is. It does speak.
There are very few small businesses that last 50 years.
Correct.
Or in this case, 38 here or 39. 39 years here. So that in itself is a real benchmark of being successful. Dr. Scott over here. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Been coming here since 1991.
Yeah. You're just a little kid.
Yeah, right. You got me through a lot of bicycle rides. I'd come here and get number 8 right before a ride and eat it, and then I was able to ride.
And then after the ride, he jumps in the cooler to cool off.
Yeah. It gets so hot, you go shower, and he gets to go ahead and go into his cooler and lets him cool off. D-heck, you don't have to listen to that.
You know what I think really is neat? To see your daughter come in here, Sophia.
Yeah.
And Sophia has just recently announced her engagement.
She has,
right?
Yeah.
And we had a little ta-da here around the table.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
And her favorite thing that Charlie picked up on immediately is
cookie dough. She loves cookie dough. She's supposed to be here. She's running late, evidently. Okay. Yeah.
Frozen cookie dough. So he shows up. Charlie runs back and gets a cluster of frozen cookie dough.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, bud, for everything, James. Well, plus, we get to come here at lunch and solve all the world's problems.
Yeah, it's an open invitation. Any knuckleheads that want to join us at 1
So
o'clock.
Of all the community things that you've done over these years, which one, I don't know, is closest to your heart that you've done?
That's a toughie because they're all close to my heart. I've always had a mission since I've been here to work with people in the community that need a hand up, that need a hand, whether they're homeless, hard luck, special needs. They're all close to my heart. I don't really have a special favorite one.
Well, I can tell you this. When the Bethel Men's Shelter doesn't have somebody signed up for a meal, guess who's supplying the meal? Right
Charlie.
Here, right across the table.
Well, and I think that's what makes being here so fun and special, since I've been doing the show since the beginning of the year. I'm in here on Fridays, and you come in here and you see all different kinds of people come in. I went home one day and I said, that's what heaven's going to be like. Like, you see black people, you see white people, you see students, you see the homeless people. You see all different kinds, and there's nobody here that isn't smiling or has a cross word. And I think that is all a testament to you, because you make people feel so special and so welcome that you can't help but feel that when you walk in. And then everybody, you know, we sit here, we do a show, y'all see it, and you know, people are waving to each other, and I'm like, I'm on the air, like, it's live, but hey, you know. And it's just, it really is, it's such a fun, happy place. I've never seen anybody like get upset with anybody the whole time I've been here. I mean, it's not like, so I think that's a true testament to you and how you run the business.
Charlie has some t-shirts. I've got one, and that logo that he has on that cup says it all about Charlie Ruffalo.
That's right.
Respect all. It's just that simple. It's just that simple.
Right. Everybody is equal. I mean, we're all humans. We're all worried about the same thing. Food in our belly, roof in our head, being loved. You know, and it doesn't matter where you are in life, because that could be any one of us could be in a tough situation. Wow. Just one or two bad decisions or an accident. Or
That little button that I say everybody has inside them that can be pushed. Loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of a house. Yeah. I mean, whatever could put you in that situation.
Right. So no matter what the deal is, I don't care. Come here, I'll feed you. If you don't have the money for it, I'll feed you. And
I'll say that too loudly. I don't get any money, Charlie.
That's why I turned away. That's why I turned away from the microphone when I said that.
He would do it.
Oh my goodness!
No, we've fed the hard luck people. We don't call them homeless. Hard luck people. Ever since I've been here, since COVID, with the influx of hard luck people, it really got out of control. So I had to reel it back in from what I used to do.
Right.
When I started, I was giving away about $200 worth of food a month to people of hard luck. Right. That was doable. Well, during COVID and the influx of hard luck people we've had, it got up over $1,000 a month I was giving away. I can't afford to do that.
Can't do that and stay in business.
So I had to reel it in, and we had to change and evolve and evolve and evolve.
So, Charlie, what would you like to say about this community? Because I know this community means an awful lot to you.
I'm so excited. I'm so glad I lucked into coming to Rock Hill, because that's all it was. I didn't look around and say, oh, I want to go to Rock Hill. It came available, and I jumped on it. And when I remember when I was sitting here, before I opened, I'm sitting in a booth over here in the corner going, oh, crap. Oh, boy, I hope I can make a living here. I just fell in love with this community. And it just gets better and better and better.
Yeah.
You know, when I first got here, we had the roof over the downtown mall. And I'm sitting there looking at this saying, what the heck is this? Will downtown ever be anything? And I think I even told you, Manning, that there's no way downtown can be saved.
They did.
And this city has really pulled it together. And it's really, this is a place to live. I am so glad to be here. So glad to be part of this community and the associations of people I know and met. You know, even these two.
And that's a great way to end the program. And Charlie, thank you for doing all that you do in this community. Thank you, and congratulations on 50 years. It's great. It's a great story.
And one more time, my brother John Ruffalo was there from the beginning.
Yes, John. Hello. Glad that you're out there, buddy. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Do I need to even show this redneck's cue card? All right. Who can do this with blindfolded? At the count of three, let's tell everybody what the heck we do inside Substation 2, 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day, and congratulate Charlie Ruffalo when you see him. See you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.